Praise the Lord God, how great He is. Hallelujah. This is a lesson today that I felt led of the Lord to bring. And some of you know this truth frontwards and backward. But it's a teaching that we all need to lay hold of in our lives, and that is victory over our fleshly nature. And we have two of them. We have two natures, don't we? And we're all human, and we all have different problems in our lives sometimes, and we kind of let loose and manifest the flesh. We do it without even thinking sometimes, but the Lord wants us to know this truth, and so we can walk in victory in the Lord and follow Him in everything. Is your mom okay, hon? She's okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And in this portion, this is Apostle Paul speaking, teaching. And in this chapter, he's going to talk about the contrast between Adam, the old Adam in the first part of the Bible, and Jesus Christ, who's called the second Adam. So let's ask the Lord to bless this word as we go over it in our Bibles and learn something maybe today. Praise the name of Jesus for the word of God, which is powerful and strong and is always the Holy Spirit in this word of God, in the writing of it, in the preaching of it, and everything. Lord, may the Holy Spirit open our eyes and open our hearts, Father, to understand more about you in all the ways, Lord, as this word goes forth. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And I think it's something that most of us understand, is that when we were saved, before we were saved, we had one nature, and that's the old fleshly nature, to follow and do whatever we want to do. Whatever even the enemy, the old devil, whispering to us to do things and all this stuff. So we have just one nature. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have more than one nature. We have Christ. Christ moves into our life. He lives in us, and He has His being in us, but also then we have the Holy Spirit that comes in and works in us and deals with us to follow the Lord, to walk with God daily and all of that. So let's look at the 45th verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, that's kind of different, isn't it, that Jesus would be called Adam. He's not called the first Adam. He's called the last Adam. Notice that. There's no more Adams after that. Adam, the first Adam, was the head of that first creation. He was the first man that God created. But now, Jesus Christ is the last Adam. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the new creation. And so all of us here knowing Jesus as our Savior, He is our Savior. He is the head of the church. He is the one who is to be honored and worshiped. Praise the Lord. So notice what it says, that this last Adam, which is speaking of Jesus Christ, it says He was made a quickening spirit. Quickening spirit. Quickening means that He could make things alive. He could make us alive in Christ. Praise the Lord. It means a life-giving spirit. That was different from Adam in the Old Testament. All he could do is produce some children. And then one of them was a murderer. You know, the old fleshly nature that Adam had when he disobeyed God, and Eve, of course, disobeyed God. But then when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the head of the new creation, where Adam was the head of the old, see? And so now, who is the new creation? And I think the majority of you can answer me right off the top of your head. You know who the new creation is. The new creation is Christ in us. When Christ comes into our life, when we are born again, he comes into our life, and we are, the Bible says, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, that new creation life is within us, and that life, Jesus wants that life to be manifested in our life. That's why he deals with us about different things. When we do things that are fleshly, there are things that are not spiritual. So, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is that life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. In verse 48, it says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they which are heavenly. Okay, so Adam, we have the characteristics of Adam, don't we? Because we're human beings all down through the generations. But once we are born again, we have a new life that is in us. And that new life, the Lord wants that new life to dominate us and govern us. And that's what it means when it says a life-giving spirit. He's going to give us power, the Lord Jesus in us and then the Holy Spirit in us. It's going to give us power to overcome things in our life that are testing us, things that are against Scripture. Some of us, we all have these trials until we, and we always will because we're human, but we learn to overcome, don't we? We learn to overcome and walk in the Spirit. In Romans 5:12, it says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There wouldn't have been any death if Adam and Eve had stayed in the garden and obeyed the word, what God said for them to do. But because Eve sinned and Adam sinned with her, and it caused all the human race then to be sinful, to have this nature of sin that needed deliverance. And so the human race needed Christ. There was no other way to redeem us. There's a song that says that. There's no other way to redeem us. There wasn't any other way to redeem us. There was no other way to give us life except that the Son of God, who was perfect, would come and be in this human body that he came into as a little babe and then grew up, and he would give his life for us to save us from this terrible condition. So Adam, when it talks about Adam, that's the natural birth. But when it talks about Christ, what he did for us, it's the spiritual birth. We are born again. That's what Jesus said. Unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. We have to be born again, don't we? Receiving Christ as our Savior. Praise the Lord. Yes. So by receiving Christ as our Savior, our spirit is quickened. Our spirit is alive. The Spirit of God in us is alive, and he gives us a new life. Praise the Lord. Look here in our text that we're looking at. I hope you're still here. 1 Corinthians 15. She's making it, okay. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So we said already, when we were first born in the natural, into the human family, we were of Adam's race. We didn't have a way to become godly. And a lot of people do try that, you know. They don't know Jesus, but they try to act godly. And that does not work. It has to be the new birth come into us, made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's what we have in that new life that's in us. But the second thing is we receive Christ as our Savior, and we have a spiritual birth. And all of you know that, don't you? Because I think everyone here is born again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 47, the first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Praise the Lord. So not only the natural man and the spiritual man, but the earthly man and the Lord. And different, they're totally different, aren't they? Verse 47, it says the first man is of the earth. So what did Adam, what did God do with Adam? He molded him out of the earth, actually. So he was molded of minerals of the earth. That's why we have minerals in our body that are similar to what's in the earth. That was to help us to function, so we could function, eat the plants and the things that were there in that thing. So what does it happen when we're born again? It creates a heavenly birth inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have a new nature, and all of us have this. All of us that know Jesus have this. One of the things that Satan likes to do is make us live in the old nature. The old nature is one that argues and gets mad and stomps their feet, and I don't like you, and I'm, you know, all this stuff that humans do against other people. That's all the old nature. But when we have the new nature in us, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, then we're still in this natural body. But Jesus paid the price with his own blood, and he redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. We are a new person. Amen. We have Jesus, and that makes us to be a new person. Oh, hallelujah. And we're not going to turn here because I want us to stay where we are a little bit more, but there's a verse in... Well, I think we will. Let's go back to the sixth chapter of Corinthians. The sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, because there's two verses there I want to read. All right, we're in the verse 19 of chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. The price of the Lord Jesus Christ giving his life for us. So let's go back there to that 15th chapter again. 15th chapter, and I think I read this a while ago, but I'm going to read it again. 15, verse 47 and 48. The first man is the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Isn't that truth? That's the way it is. People that don't know Jesus, they just, they've had a natural birth, and they try to get along, and there's always trouble, and there's just stuff, and they can never seem to really cope in life. They are of the earth, earthy, just like other human beings in this earth. But as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. That word heavenly speaks of the new creation. See, Jesus died on the cross to bring forth new creation. Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and have a new life, they have a spiritual life. We are a part of the new creation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Yes. Oh, I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I'm not there yet, neither are you. We're still in this natural body that God gave to us. But one of these days, in a second, in the twinkling of an eye, this trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Notice it's in Christ, those who know Jesus that have died and passed from this life. And immediately then, those that are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord, watching for his appearing, are going to be changed, and they're going to be translated into the heavenlies. Oh, glory to God. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Praise the Lord. Then he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. You shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. We're going to miss Sister Vicky when she moves away. But no matter where she is, the Lord calls, she'll fly away. Yep, praise the Lord. We're back here. We'll fly away. We're watching and waiting for the Lord to come. All provision is made by God. This happened when we were born again. We were accepted in the beloved, the scriptures. Who's the beloved? Jesus Christ, his beloved son. We are accepted in the beloved. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. That's what we have by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's sight, since we believed, we are his children. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All the blessings of heaven belong to us as a child of the living God. Think of what we have. We have the right to call God Father, Abba Father. Let's look in Romans 15. Let's go back to Romans 8, pardon me. Romans 8, verse 15. We have to read verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That little word led, L-E-D, in the Greek, it means carried or led forward. Now, do you ever think about that? When you first got saved, what was going on there? The Lord was dealing with you. The Holy Spirit was dealing with you. And the Lord just kind of picks you up and moves you along. You were carried. You were led forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are now the sons of God. That doesn't bother me that I'm a son of God. Praise the Lord. The family of God. Every one of us are part of the family of God. We know Jesus as our Lord. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage. And that speaks of slavery. Some people who are saved think they're under slavery, that they've got to do certain things. There's certain rules. Got to do this. You got to be really careful, because if I do something wrong, he's going to throw me out. But the Bible says here we have not received the spirit of slavery, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you call, we cry out, Abba, Father. And again, I'll mention to you that the word adoption means placing as a son. We are placed as the children of God. And we cry, Abba, which is a word, a very, very beautiful word that the children of the household could call their dad. They didn't call him just father. They called him Abba, which was daddy. Daddy, daddy, daddy. That's what I call my daddy from the time he got to be an old man. Daddy, praise the Lord. So, whereby we cry, Daddy, he's our dad. Isn't that beautiful? In a spiritual sense, that's the most wonderful thing that we can think of. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. See, our human Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and he bears witness with what's inside of us. Okay, you're a child of God. You are a child. The Holy Spirit bears that witness that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs. This means we're going to share in his glory. And this is what God wants. He wants every child of God that he redeems and he saves and brings to salvation. He wants every one of them to love him with a love that is more for him than anything in this world. Love him, follow him, walk with him. He wants us to be there as joint heirs with Christ. He will share his glory with those that will do this, that will give themselves totally to the Lord. I want your will. I want it in my life. This is what I want. Just help me, oh Father. Cause me to be what you want me to be. That's what he wants. Praise the name of Jesus. He says, joint heirs. He will share his glory with his bride. It's going to be the bride, called the bride, with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Now, there. That's what we don't like, right? We don't like to suffer. We don't like to be sick. We don't like to have problems in life. We don't like to lose our spouse. We don't like to lose our children. We don't like those kind of things. And all the other tests and trials that everybody goes through, with sickness in body and things like that. But what is the price? The price is to suffer with him. In other words, lay hold of his grace to keep taking care of us in spite of everything that we go through. You know, in spite of the fact that maybe I feel like crying over some situation, just to go to the Lord and say, here it is, Lord. Take care of it, and we suffer with him that we may be glorified together. And that word glorified has the meaning to be exalted to dignity. In other words, not just some kind of little, you know, here's a little reward for you for doing it. Here's a little reward. It's a great, big, wonderful thing that he's going to do for us if we yield fully to him. He has promised that we can be in this bridal company, the bride of Christ, if we yield our lives completely to him and walk in the Spirit with all of the Holy Spirit in control of us. We have received the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, placing us as sons. We cry out, Daddy, Daddy, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. That means all of the blessings that God has all belong to us. All just like an heir in the natural, inheriting whatever inheritance comes from the parent. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5, let's turn there. Galatians 5. We have here the old earthly part of man is called the flesh. Here, the flesh refers to our natural bodies and sin that is committed in the human condition. So as we see that in verse 17 of chapter 5, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other so that we cannot do the things we would. That's because all of us have that, okay? There's not a person here today that doesn't have a flesh. We have that old nature thing that's been in us since we were born. We were born that way. Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See? Praise the Lord. There is a way to be victorious in life, and that is walking in the Spirit, yielding our life. It means to follow the Holy Spirit. It means to deport ourselves or to deport oneself in this way. What does that mean? He's offering his hand, he's offering his hug, he's offering everything the Holy Spirit is for us to yield to him and walk with him. And a lot of times we ignore that. But he wants us to give it all over to the Lord and just follow, praise the Lord, and be in control of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we're going to not fulfill the lust of the flesh if we do that. We will walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. He doesn't like, our flesh doesn't like to be told what to do. Have you ever known that? I think we all went through that as children. My mother was a disciplinarian, so we didn't say too much. We did what we were told. So that's what the Lord wants. The Spirit, he says, flesh lusts against the Spirit's against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things we would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, and that word to be under means that you are not subjected to the law. And he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he names all these horrible things, which I hate to read, but adultery, fornication, uncleanness, which is impurity, lasciviousness, which is lustfulness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is strife and arguing with people, emulations, which are a jealousy and envy, and of course wrath, which is anger, strife, and seditions, going against in groups of people against other people, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, in other words, just, well, I go out there and have a really good time. Yeah, you do. You get maybe drunk and can't hold yourself, don't know what to do. And such like, anything that's like that is the flesh, is what the flesh wants to do. Of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things, and that word do means to practice, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we are going to be saved in the hereafter, but we gain victory if we walk in the Spirit. We gain rewards from the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there's so many scriptures, and I'm about running out of time. But I want us to turn back to Romans 12:1, and this is, you know, I'm sure that all of you could quote these scriptures. We go over them so many times in the past, but we just want to just kind of speak again to us. Praise the Lord. We just studied the book of Romans in our ladies' meeting and just finished up the book of Romans. So here in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm going to go over the meanings of the words because I love to do that. The word beseech, it means to exhort, to implore, and to beg. So Apostle Paul is not just saying, okay, if you want to, you know, you can walk with God. He's not saying that. He's saying, I am exhorting you. I am asking you. I'm begging you to do this. This is victory. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. And the word present means to offer or to yield, to be a willing sacrifice. That's what it means, like the little lamb that just is so tame, and they just lead it right over and take its life and put the blood on the doorposts and all the things they've done with lambs. The Lord wants us to present, to yield our bodies as a living sacrifice. I think in the Amplified it may say completely surrender of the body to Christ. A living sacrifice. Notice that. He's not saying be killed, be a martyr, die. He's saying, live for the Lord. live as a sacrifice to the Lord, holy and acceptable. And this word acceptable, such a beautiful word. It doesn't mean barely pleasing. That's not what it means at all. It means well pleasing in the Greek. Well pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And that word has a meaning also. That word means amiable. In other words, it's your amiable service. It's the right thing to do. He's died for you. It's the right thing for us to walk in the Spirit and yield to God. And the other meaning is logical. Isn't it logical that he would die on the cross and do all this for us and give us all this power and give us the Holy Spirit and that we totally dedicate our life to God? Yes. That's logical. That's really what God wants. Praise the Lord. Isn't it beautiful? In the Spirit, when we see that phrase, in the Spirit, in obedience to the Spirit and the new life of Christ in us, that's what it means. The Amplified Version says, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him, and be responsive to His guidance. Praise the Lord. All of those things are wonderful to hear, wonderful things. Only, like I always tell you, how many pages I have left. But I'm not going to have time to do that. But I want to just encourage you that the Lord is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. And He wants us to be loving Him and in victory, in total surrender to Him and His will. And I wrote down on my notes here, the victory is total surrender to Christ. We all find that we can't overcome by ourselves. All the resolutions and all the gritting of our teeth and everything else we find is a failure. I must fall on my Lord Jesus in humble surrender and ask Him for deliverance. That's what He wants. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our part is, here I am, Lord. I want to be in victory. I want to yield my life to you completely. I want to do what you want me to do. This is what I want. Do this, Lord, because we're not going to do it in ourselves. It isn't going to be by our holding on or by our trying to be better. It's going to be by our yielding our life to Christ that we're going to do different.